This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 19. Today's guests are Brian and Francielli Daly, business coaches and creators of FullTimeMom.org.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome again to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Again, this is the show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. Today's hosts are Brian Whitaker and myself, JC Preston. We're part of the crew at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people do passion-filled work and more importantly, giving them the resources and community they need to help to share it with others. Today's episode is powered by Fizzle.co. If you want to do great work and make an impact on others with an online business, this is your place. It's honest training and genuine community for lifestyle business builders. You can learn what you need to just in time instead of being confused on what you need to do next. I mean, I know we've all been there. You were listening to that someone that has this great advice to do this new trick that has these results that obviously you want. But you know, you are busy doing this other thing. Now you got this idea in your head that this is important, and then you jump to this from this to that, leaving you, while were you working on it, and incomplete, right? I mean, like I said, I've been there, I've done that. Being a fizzler and sticking to their roadmap keeps you from doing that random work. I mean, doesn't that sound like a real plan to you? So pretty cool. That's why I keep on bringing Fizzle into the conversation. And as a listener, you can go over to newinceptions.com/fizzle and get your first 2 weeks free. Again, that's newinceptions.com/fizzle. So hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to the this new session of the Angles of Latitude podcast. In fact, this is number 19. We're one away from that big milestone of number 20. And, you know, to be honest, I'm looking forward to crossing that threshold next week with you guys. So speaking of thresholds, there's no other threshold like marriage. You know, it really does change your life. You know, personally, I've been going at it for a couple of years now, and I couldn't be happier. And as you know, some marriages work well, others not so much, especially when you're starting into new lives as small business owners. In today's talk, Brian and I talk with Brian and Francielli Daly about their lives as joint entrepreneurial couple. We talk about how that all came to be, how they worked together, and some of the secrets they utilized to build their businesses. You know, I personally think they're a great role model of a married team and how they can complement one another. And, you know, I'd love if we could all share this type of relationship, but however, sometimes that's just simply not the case. And even if we can eventually move to that point, you know, it's just going to take some time. So be sure to stick around after the conversation, as I will be giving you info on how you can get your hands on their execution plan, a template. It's a tool that the Dailies use regularly to aid in their coaching and just might help you out too. If you have any questions for the Dailies or the show in general, leave a question in the comments via the show notes or email us at heyguys@newinceptions.com. And as usual, I'll be back after the conversation to fill in anything we might have missed. Hey, everyone, and again, welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Today with us are two people that I think you're really going to enjoy, Brian and Francielli Daly. Both are entrepreneurs in their own right. Brian is the author of an Amazon best-selling book series called The Inner Game Of. And he's also the author of a 3-day MBA book, which is basically focused on everything you will never learn in business school. He has a background in collegiate wrestling, including being the nationally ranked wrestler, where he competed 4 times at the NCAA National Championships and was invited 2 times to the largest Division I NCAA tournament. Each and every year for 7 years straight, he competed at the state and NCAA National Championships, and each year, when it came to the end, something just seemed to happen and left Brian short of his goal, disappointed with questions of where he could improve or if it was him or whatever. I'm sure we'll get into that. Francielli, on the other hand, is the founder of FullTimeMom.org. Once a single mother, with the help of Brian, she has gone from working multiple jobs to now managing a team of contributors at FullTimeMom.org and is a marketing mastermind for her clients. She's now an expert in installing business processes and is also the creator of the 4 Pillars Business Assessment, which she utilizes to find out where her clients are currently at. So, hey guys, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
Thanks for having us.
Hey, no, not a problem. Not a problem. So yeah, let's kind of expand on that story a bit. Brian, I've known you since 2012, where we met through a mastermind group. And I know that you guys met after that, Francielli. So I was actually wanting to ask you first, how did Brian hit you with the entrepreneur bug? How has it opened your perspective of the world up?
Well, when someone takes you on their second date to Tony Robbins, the rest is history.
Wow.
So, it was definitely not something I was used to. Let me tell you, I was in the medical field world, corporate America. I just really was, you know, going to become a nurse and that was it. You know, that was my plan. And then I go to Tony Robbins and I go, what in the world is this? I had no idea there was this world out there. And so it was funny because Brian goes, I'm going to take you to my world, to kind of where, you know, I have fun. And I was like, okay, so should I wear like a business suit or something? Or what should I do?
Yeah.
I was like, no, come comfortable. So the moment I walked in and I saw like, I don't know, there's like 500 people in the room and maybe even more than that, right? But at the same time, I was overwhelmed. And for like the first hour, I was just not comfortable. And then I got into it. And after that, he's just been taking me on a journey, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I didn't want to look back. I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to stay where I was at. So I just kept going.
You know, it's funny how you should mention all that. I can definitely relate to what you're saying. In fact, the way you were introduced to entrepreneurship isn't too unlike how I introduced my wife, Maria.
Awesome, yeah.
It was passive at first and then got big really quick, kind of like my love for football after the Colts' abysmal season in 2011. She'd probably be the first one to tell you that I hid my interest in football from her better than I did my interest in entrepreneurship. Yeah, I slowly got into entrepreneurship through multiple sources, including a guy Brian put me onto back in 2012 by the name of Brendan Burchard, which I guess, you know, he really opened up my eyes to a lot of different ways that marketing can be done outside of what I knew from LTD. And yeah, I guess I knew Pat Flynn at the time as well. So, you know, I mean, just helping her go through that process has been really interesting, to say the least. Because, I mean,
it sounds like there's a lot more there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I don't know if you guys have ever been to an MLM meeting or anything like that, but it's almost kind of the same thing, is that it's like when you go to a, at least in the world that I'm from, they're called open meetings, right? And you have this person that's going there for, you know, what they believe is a business meeting, right? And then they're hit with this super, I don't want to say overinflated perception of what could be, because it's definitely real, but from where they're at, it's overinflated. And it's just like, the new person, I feel, has kind of, especially when you go from not knowing anything to being in the presence of it, you know, someone that is as good a speaker as Tony, I can only imagine. It's like, where did I just leave reality? So yeah, that's interesting that you would call it like that.
That's cool. So Francielli, I do have another follow-up question for you. So you said your second date was Tony Robbins, which is really cool. So can you tell us a little bit about like what you do now that you've been to Tony Robbins? You've kind of got into this entrepreneurial world. What do you do at fulltimemom.org? Like, what does that involve for you?
Yeah. So how fulltimemom.org came about was, basically a gift from Brian. He just bought the domain, and then we put all the website together basically. And really my initial thoughts were it was just going to be a blog, and I was just going to put, you know, little things on there. And, then we found this amazing parenting series that really changed my perspective in parenting, but then also allowed Brian to become instant dad to my oldest daughter. And then we just basically created a process so that, you know, parents could listen to that free CD and then go to that CD series as, you know, the next thing for them to transition in. What we didn't know was parents and moms don't really like to be told what to do when it comes to parenting. So that was like one of the biggest challenges when we were sharing the message. So through all of that, it really allowed me to kind of step back and figure out what were the next steps. So things were like starting to take off. And then, unfortunately I was 20 weeks, which is 5 months pregnant, with our son, and we lost him. His heartbeat had stopped. So I really needed to really step back and just take some time to myself, to really reevaluate everything. So once I really got myself back in order, I mean, we had so many resources, you know, not only from the community, but also just in the entrepreneur world. I mean, we went to, you know, communication courses and just personal development, you know, things to really get myself back on my feet, you know, properly. And then, you know, I have a really strong relationship with God as well. So that really helped. And then that's when I figured out, okay, wow, like I really need to stop doing everything on my own, and I really need a team in place. So then I created a team around Fulltime Mom, because I mean, ultimately it does take a village to raise a child, you know? So I was doing everything on my own. And I think what God kind of did was struck me on my knees and say, hey, you know what, you've been doing this on your own. This is why it's not working. And so I created that village. So we have contributors at Fulltime Mom now, that share, I mean, anywhere from faith, fitness, family, fun, and finance. And they're fun. They're super fun stories because they're not like niched, you know, on one category. I mean, it's like real life, authentic stories.
Like real, raw, and relevant,
yeah,
right?
Like totally. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I have moms that are divorced. I have moms that have been in a marriage for, you know, 20 plus years. I have moms that, you know, are just really going through the grind. You know, they have little ones, but then they're empty nesters, right? So I have a variety now, and I really got that this was not focused on me, but it needed to be focused out there, because there were people that were coming to the website, you know, and who knows what they're dealing with. So from that, I mean, I made a lot of mistakes, let me tell you. I learned a lot through all of those, the different motions and just the different things that needed to be put in place. And then through that's when the four pillars was born. because of just, you, there's got to be a specific process into what you're creating, you know, when it comes to your business. And that was lacking in the beginning, but then, you know, we figured it out, or I figured it out. So
real quick, can you, and I don't want you to go too deep on it if you don't want to, but how, what are those four pillars, if you don't mind?
Yeah, no. So the first pillar is contacts. Mm-hmm. The second pillar is numbers. The third pillar is 90-day plan. And the fourth pillar is team.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah, what we found, and I'll step in to just because, you know, a lot of that, those four pillars, I think, is it safe to say that some of it came out of, like the pain that I was in, right? As trying to manage it all and do it all, you know, import contacts and build lists and, you know, manage a database and knowing your numbers, meaning like your cost per acquisition for a client and the lifetime value or initial value of that customer, then the lifetime value of that customer. Like, you know, those are just two of the pillars, but inside of the pain of kind of wearing a lot of different hats at the beginning, and not having processes in place. I mean, JC, you talked a little bit about the network marketing industry, and you know, one of the things that they have that, you know, we can learn a lot from is they have an incredible process. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, so we started doing assessments with business owners, you know, charging anywhere from $49 to $97 for an assessment, and then positioning those you know, those four pillars and a solution. It's converted really, really well for you, right?
Oh yeah. I think the, you know, the one reason why it works really well is because I think when we become entrepreneurs and you know, just going back to the beginning is, you know, you're like, yes, I found my passion. I found what I want to do. I'm going to change the world. And then you get into that and you get into to that motion, you know, just into it. And then you start doing the work and you're like, oh man, this really sucks. I thought I was going to be able to have all the time in the world and I was going to be able to spend time with my kids or my family or even a hobby maybe, you know, for those that don't have kids. Mm-hmm. And then it like kind of is like, wait a minute, what did I get myself into? And it's not necessarily what did you, you know, get yourself into. I think it's just that we all have a specific skill set. And that's where the fourth pillar comes in is we need to create a team around us so that we can take some of that burden off. But most importantly, not do everything, you know, because it's going to overwhelm you. And most likely you're going to go find something else to do. You know, you're going to find the next thing. And then after that, you're going to find the next thing. And in all reality, you got to stay focused, but you got to figure out what is your skill set? What is it that you are good at? And then hand it off to other people that are good at, you know, that thing that you may not be good at. But that's really important, you know, so.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're talking about a good way, even as an entrepreneur, there's a good way to run your business and there's a way that's not very good. You know, you're doing everything yourself and you're kind of jumping from shiny object to shiny object. Sometimes you might get burnt out.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're always looking for another tool, right? Like I use this example a lot with wrestlers and even some clients, right? It's like if you were doing everything, if you thought you were doing everything right, and someone soon told you it was wrong, how soon would you want to know? Right? Like so. The other day, I'm at practice.
I know that line.
Right. It's like, tell me now, right?
Yeah.
We might be resistant a little bit to the coaching, but at the same time, I'll give you a real example of that. We had a doctor come in and do this thing called activation, to activate to dominate. And he told me I'm breathing wrong. Like, literally, he goes, you need to breathe the exact opposite of how you're breathing. This was this week on Wednesday. And I was... You know, I've learned to suspend all disbelief and nothing really surprises me anymore, right? And it's like, he told me I'm breathing wrong. I mean, for 32 years, I've been breathing the exact opposite that we should be breathing, right? Like, I was breathing, as I was breathing in, my stomach was going in rather than out. And it's just, so it's a real, real life, like almost like a little case study, right? Like, you know, if you were doing everything right and someone came along and said you were doing it wrong, how soon would you want them to tell you?
Right. Wow. I'm just kind of having problems wrapping my mind around the fact that your diaphragm was going in when you were breathing. But yeah, no, you're right about that. What I was thinking is that if you don't get that feedback right away, and that's life or in your business, you know, without that acknowledgement that you're doing something wrong, I mean, you could be spending who knows how much, you know, resources that you wouldn't be spending otherwise.
And so one of the other things we got through a organization called CEO Space. They do a business growth conference they put on 5 times a year, and they were recognized by Forbes. And you know, one of the things that that the founder of CEO Space says is, you're doing all the right things, you're just doing them in the wrong order. So sequencing, you know, has been like a master skill set for us. You know, learning that if it's not in our strategic plan or our execution plan, you know, we don't do it, right? If we don't have a specific strategy for using the Twitter, right? If there's not a strategy in our plan to use Twitter, then we don't use Twitter, right? I mean, it's just like I think at times everyone's like, you got to have a membership site, and you got to do webinars, and you got to have a podcast, and you got to, like, who says, man, like, whose business is this, right? Now, there are some things that are probably more effective than other things at getting your brand out, or, you know, customer acquisition, or, you know, and at the same time, we don't have to do it all. And I think there's some freedom in that I don't have to have who says I have to have a YouTube channel with and do videos all the time? Like, you know, so I think there's some freedom in it when we stop looking for the shiny penny, as someone shared it with me. We stop kind of looking for that. You know, someone else, it's in my book, it says, if we don't figure out our why, we're going to look for an easier how to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, until we get really clear on that why, hopefully that may, you know.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Brian, I mean, I can keep going, man.
Brian, you're gonna say something.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Well, it was exactly what he was talking about. Like, what happens if you don't fix what's wrong? Like, that's the question that comes up for me. Like, if you don't fix what's wrong, if someone doesn't address it right away, or if you are using, you know, the steps in the wrong order, right? If you know, what happens if you don't fix it?
The problem is we don't know that we don't know, right? It's like it's a blind spot for us. And you know, just like a truck driving down the highway, you know, we don't want to be in that blind spot when he decides to change those lanes.
Right.
So it's like someone else. I use this other example all the time, right? It's it's from the neurolinguistic NLP, neurolinguistic programming. And they share, you know, if I handed you a map of Europe and it was mislabeled the United States, right? So you have this map of Europe and it says United States on the top, right? And I give you that map and I ask you, with this map as your reference, you know, I want you to go from Chicago to LA, right? With that map, can you do it?
Yeah, no way.
No way, right? And so if I ask you, well, just, you know, Brian, just focus on the map a little bit more.
Yeah, it wouldn't help.
Right. Or let's try to throw in another tactic, right? Let's give you a bicycle now, mm-hmm. right? And I want you to still go with that map as your reference. Go from Chicago to LA. Is that going to help you get there faster?
Yeah. No.
No. If I give you the keys to a brand new Ferrari and said, here you go, here's a Ferrari, and you know, go from, with this map of Europe, mislabeled United States, go from Chicago to LA.
Yeah, I'd probably just keep the Ferrari and stay in Europe.
Yeah, you're like, forget it, LA, right?
So the analogy you're going for there with the map and going from one to the other there, is that just kind of helping someone with their business? Because it seems to me that would have a lot of application to just how people approach life in general.
Yeah, it has application all over the board, right? So inside of, you know, in the Inner Game of Wrestling books, I use that analogy to prove that working harder, longer, being stronger, being faster than your competition is not always the solution, right? It is just working on in one dimension of like physical training. And well, let's transition over to, you know, running a business, right? We need someone to point out what we don't know that we don't know, to say that, to tell us, hey, this is a map of Europe. You need a map of, you know, you need a different map, mm-hmm. right? And someone who's been there before, who knows, you know, I guess geography in this example, but you know, we need a coach or need someone that can see those things, those blind spots and tell us and show us that, hey, this is a map of Europe. You'll never get where you want to go with this map.
Right. Right. As far as your books go, I'm actually kind of curious where the idea came from. I know you've seen yourself as a creator and an entrepreneur for a while, but have you always thought yourself as a writer, and how'd you get started on those?
Yeah. Someone told me that the best book you ever read is the one you write.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think I like bought into that and said, hey, I want to be an author. I think it was just kind of, you know, it evolved, and at some point I was just accumulating like the best of what I had. And then, you know, finding out a process to package that, mm-hmm. And, you know, put it on Amazon, be able to use it as a business card, or, you know, we call them a widget, right? It's a small purchase, just kind of building trust,
right,
with someone. Hopefully I'm answering your question, but I guess, did I always want to like write books? No. right. I wish, in college, you know, paying $30,000 a year, I wish that it would have been a requirement to be an author before you graduate. You know, it's like, give me that rather than a piece of paper and a resume. You know, that's a different, you know, ragging on the school system.
Yeah. 2020 hindsight podcast, too.
You know what I mean?
No. And that's another topic altogether. Let me tell you, I mean, I've mentioned a couple of times in past podcasts how one of my podcasts that I now listen to is called School Sucks Project. And I would agree with you there. They have some issues they need to work on. But Francielli, really curious about what you think about business owner life versus employee life. What are your main differentials between like how you remember used to feeling versus once you got through the Tony Robbins to now? How's that shifted for you?
Yeah. You know, I don't necessarily, at one point I was like, I want to feel free and I want to be able to have more time. And you know, now it's more just managing the time so that I have that freedom. I get to say, it's not like someone is telling me, all right, this is when you're going to work. You're going to punch in, you're going to punch out. And you know, this is when I need you to be here. I get to really, really say, okay, well, you know, I have this going on, so I'm going to take this time, you know, to sit down and really work and be productive. Right. And then another time, you know, I'm going to go do what I need to do for family. And then, you know, just family life and work life, right? Like now I get to really say, I think that's really the biggest difference. I think also the biggest thing for me was I'm not building someone else's dream. And I'm not saying that's not right, because I think we all have a place in the world, right? And, you know, it's like I really had to evaluate, like, did I want to continue building someone else's dream, or did I have something really, really deep inside that I really wanted to bring to the world, or bring, you know, that passion or that solution to the world.
Right.
And that was bigger and that was stronger inside of me versus myself helping build someone else's dream. So And you know, it's funny because like, yeah, I'm, you know, putting these processes in for business owners and yes, I'm building other people's dream, but now it's like, I have this process down that I've created within, and it's really a true passion to do that. So, you know, it definitely is rewarding. So that's how I look at employee and, you know, business owner entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Just to pick, I know the question wasn't asked directed towards me, but I guess, you know, as you also look at it, it's like getting, not paying taxes later on the money, it, you know, provides so much more cash flow in a business than, you know, having them take out the Social Security and the whatever else they take out. I haven't had what else do they take? Social Security,
disability, all
that. Yeah, so it's like having that, it's like a third more money, right? To kind of reinvest in something, right? And putting it into a marketing budget or to some, you know. I think that's a huge different, you know, being paid up front rather than, you know, waiting 2 weeks and then, you know, maybe getting paid or.
I think that was really shattering for me because I had no idea I could get paid before I did the work. And, you know, employee mindset is you have to put the time in order to make the money. You know, we got to go put the time and energy. And I was just like, whoa, blown away when I first got my first pay, you know, I got paid, before I did the work, and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is really what could be possible. I had no idea. So after that, I was like, wow, this is pretty awesome. Let's keep going. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a huge shift for, cause like one of the things you said, Francioli, and you kind of piggybacked it on Brian, is that like you're able to set up this framework for yourself. Like you can set up your business or be an entrepreneur in like your own framework. So even though you might be helping someone with their business and their dream, you're doing it within your own framework and you are able to like, you know, construct that framework for yourself so that, you know, your dream is achieved at the same time. Yeah, that was, so yeah, I totally agree, and like that totally resonates with me what you're talking about.
Awesome. Yeah.
So generally speaking, Brian, real quick, I kind of get the idea of who Francioli's avatar is. What would you consider yours to be? Who do you like working with?
Whoever.
Hey, but actually, I have like a maybe an easier question. I'm still a little bit curious, like what it is you do day to day, Brian. Like, what we got into kind of what Francioli and full time mom. I'm curious, like what makes up your day or your week? And like who do you work with?
Yeah, and I guess it changes. Who I'm really liking to work with recently is professionals. I think that, you know, initially when I first started, I only thought there were authors and speakers and seminar leaders. Like that was my, I guess my sphere of influence or just like what I saw. Right. And then when I started to get around other business owners who, you know, not like that had employees, they had payroll, they have, you know, just a different set of problems. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I guess I've seen this, and hopefully this comes off, you know, appropriately. But it's like, you know, sometimes we got to follow the money, right? Especially at the beginning, right? For cash flow. So, you know, I found that working with professionals, there's a different, you know, we started working with a lot of startups at the beginning, and we just realized we got clear really quickly that startups don't always, you know, depending on who you work with, they don't always pay on time. You know, and you can do kind of a lot of, if you don't structure the deal properly, you know, I think you can get burnt out, working, you know, I get having a heart for other entrepreneurs, and, you know, I choose very carefully who I work with because I get that they're influencing me and I'm influencing them. So, you know, I think there's a, with professionals, when I say professionals, I mean like, real estate agents or insurance professionals, you know, even chiropractors, you know, and as long as I'm congruent with, or, you know, I'm aligned with their message and what their, you know, I'm open. Right. And recently we've been targeting a lot of professionals just cause I find that, there's just a different level of, professionalism, right? It's like, there's a book called Going Pro. And, you know, it's like, we want to kind of work with the people who are, you know, kind of already out of that like dream phase. Right. Or, mm-hmm. So I don't know, am I answering your question or am I missing something?
Yeah. So I'm curious, like, what is it that you do for them?
What is it that I do for them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I follow the same, I follow the same model as Francielli, you know, and JC, I know you're really well aware of this model. It's examination, solution, implementation. So I take everyone through an initial assessment and it's kind of like, you know, we'll talk to them initially. Right. But then it's like, hey, look, if you want us to take you through a proven process that we've taken a lot of, you know, other entrepreneurs, other professionals through, you know, it here's what it would cost to take, to do that assessment. And then based on that assessment, we'll come back with some possible recommendations. And so for instance, a good example of this would be like a website, right? So, one of our last clients, we did an assessment on their site. And I mean, it's unbelievable the stuff that I find. I mean, people are running businesses without Google Analytics installed in their website. I mean, people are running.
Yeah.
And it's like I said from a couple minutes ago, it's like, nothing kind of surprises me anymore. Right. It's like, so you're running your business on your thoughts and feelings about what's working and what's not working rather than looking at the data. That sucks. You know? So
yeah. If they don't have a process, that would be, yeah.
Well, they're not looking. Yeah. They're looking at the results, like as in the dollars that come out of, you know, that the dollars that are produced from their business, like bottom line, that's what they're using as an indicator of, are they getting, you know, are they getting better or are they, you know, but what about the leading indicators, right? Like how many leads your site is getting per day or how many phone calls is your site generating? You know, so I guess one of the real examples is doing an assessment on someone's current site and figuring out how is that site an asset for them, right? And then coming back with some solutions and then putting a proposal together. And, you know, and for a lot of times I've been doing a lot of the work myself. Like, so it's kind of like, I haven't really built a team around, some of this and, you know, and I think that's what's next for me. And I'll tell you why, you know, when you guys first started doing this, did you say you wanted to be a salesman or salesperson, yeah. Right? Like someone who's generating sales for the business.
I mean, yeah, most people, I would imagine they start a business doing what they love to do what they love, not to sell what they love. Right. So yeah, I would say then to answer your question is no, I did not do this to become a salesman.
Right. And that's what I kind of found myself at one point was like, I had this elusive kind of idea of what being an entrepreneur is and isn't. And then I found myself, wow, well, I have to generate cash for my business. Right. And so I think that, you know, for me, what's next is being able to build, you know, building a team around doing those assessments and those, and transitioning more into being an agency rather than, you know, and the value that comes with that is, you know, leverage, you know, duplication, you know, growing beyond, me and my wife. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it allows mm-hmm. you so that your business isn't limited by your time anymore, at least not completely. Right. Like others can assist you in some way.
And they can get paid great for doing it. I mean, look at what's the other alternative to go work for, you know, to join a network marketing company and work, you know, and save people money on bills that they're already paying. Right. Or which in that model, You know, I'm a little opinion.
Usually doesn't even, no, it usually goes the other way, but that's just my experience.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to, I have a heavy, I'm very, that bit, the, you know, the business, and I'm willing to be wrong. And at the same time, I just, you know, it's like the other alternative of not building the team, like, is these quote unquote entrepreneurs, you know, get involved in some sort of, you know, other business model that is really not the sustainable. It's, for the most part, in my opinion, it's not very sustainable based on the cost per acquisition. You know, knowing that none of them could answer my answer. Every single one, go around and ask how much it cost them to acquire a customer, and they'll look at you like, what? It's like, oh, you mean you're going around doing all these meetings and driving here and here, and you know, and you don't know some of these simple, you know, basic business concepts, right? So I'll go off on a tangent. You guys got to reel me back in a little.
No, I think it's a good point. You kind of asked, like, you asked me or us, like, did you get into this to sell, to be a salesman? And I think we both kind of said not really, or at least that's not what we expected. But then you talked about you and acquiring, the cost of acquiring customers. And I'm just kind of curious, in your case, like, do you kind of have a plan, if I can pick your brain, like, do you have a plan for you, how to bring that team on and maybe leverage them? Or like, what would they do for you? What would that team do for you?
Definitely a process. Yeah. And you know, what works in one industry is going to, it's going to work across the board. You know, you want to go ahead.
Yeah. So, what's really worked and is just the intake process, right? Cause there's gonna be a lot of people that are going to raise their hand and say, yes, I want to help you. I want to be on your team. And that's great. But if you're not qualifying that person to figure out, well, what are you good at? You know, what skill sets do you have? Then you're going to probably put them in the wrong position and they're going to be pretty burnt out, and they'll probably disappear. So, so really in reality, it's taking them through an intake, an application, assessing, you know, what their skill sets are, and then putting them into, you know, maybe a sales team or maybe the contribution team or the admin team, like the back end of, you know, the behind the scenes, right? The task oriented. So it's like, are you going to go task oriented or are you a people person? So if that's the case, then let's give you a position that makes sense so that you can execute and, you know, and feel good about it too. Right. So that's what I've done with just my team in general. And then I'm building a team around the processes. And I actually just did an intake, you know, process, application interview. And, you know, if I didn't have that in place, who knows where, you know, I would be putting these great individuals. You know, it would probably end up as chaotic and disastrous as possible, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it kind of ties back into what we talked about at the beginning, like knowing what you're good at, where your talents lie, and where, you know, bringing in others to assist or to help and where your talents, you're not quite as talented, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And on my intake form, I mean, I literally have positions kind of spelt out, like, okay, here's the position name and then the description. And most likely whoever's reading it will be like, oh, this sounds kind of cool. And they get to pick, you know, some choices too. And then from that interview, you know, I can really assess and figure out, oh, well, yeah, this actually does sound like a really good position for you. So let's start here.
Yeah. How did you come up with that intake form, by the way?
So I had a team in the beginning, and literally after 2 months, like everybody disappeared, like nobody was submitting. And this was for the blog team. And I was like, well, this doesn't work. Wow. You know, like,
yeah.
I need that, you know, like you said one thing and you're doing the other, and it's okay. I get life happens. But there needs to be a form of commitment spelled out, right? You know, what can I expect from you and what can you expect from me? So that's the reason why I put that in place, because you know, I was getting disappointed, but then I didn't know what was happening on the other end. So it's just really making a stand like, hey, this is what you're committing to. And this is what I expect, but then this is what you expect from me as well, being in partnership and as your, you know, as your team member.
Yeah.
Definitely good takeaways right there. I mean, that right there is a good, what you can call in the industry is a partnership, right? And being very clear and precise of what that partnership entails.
Yeah, so. I think something to add, something just came up for me is, you know, maybe, that person's not really creating a team, but, you know, they're going to be in a lot of partnerships. And what we've noticed is contracts work. Like, it's so, so necessary. You know, that's just has to be the foundation. If that's not the foundation, there's just going to be a lot of, uncertainty. There's going to be a lot of disappointment. And most importantly, a lot of heartbreak. You know, the partnership may end up in not good terms. So really having contract in place, and just really having expectations and deliverables is so important.
So we run our businesses based on deliverables. So, you know, they're promises. So it's not based on how many, you know, oh, you get so many calls with us or you get so many. We don't do it that way. We base it on deliverables. Like you will have this, right? You will get this. And when we take the extra time up front to, I mean, in the book 3-Day MBA, I talk about there's, I think, three or four different types of agreements, right? There's, you can write it on a napkin, right? Where it's very informal and it's just, it's signed. It's a document. It's a legal, it's agreement, right? Then there's like the ones that I'm kind of talking about where it's based on deliverables and bullet points, like deal points, right? And then it's an agreement. And then there's, taking it even farther, then there's, you know, legal contracts where you get a lawyer involved and it's, you know, really, you know, built out where it's like, and so I guess there's like those three different levels of kind of using those agreements. So you have some sort, I mean, every single time that I didn't take the additional extra time to get clear on the agreement up front, the deal blew up. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I've learned a lot of, you know, and it cost me a lot of money to learn that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So,
real quick, and I don't think we've talked about this part of your guys' businesses yet, but generally speaking, I mean, how do you even meet your prospects, you know, partner wise or client wise? What generally tends to work for you guys the most?
Word by mouth has been huge for me. Just people sharing, you know, their networks. That's been huge for me. You know, like, oh, I have someone for you. I'm going to set up an introduction. That's really where, how it's been working for myself.
Mm-hmm. For me, one of the, you know, there's different communities, right? And I think the language, and aside from the community, it goes back to how the language in which we're using, right? So we've learned a process called like, it's a snap. And, mm-hmm. There is like a somewhat of a formula to being able to, you know, enroll someone and tell them what it is that you do and what it is that you're looking for. Right. For me, it's also, we won't take an appointment unless they pay for the assessment. Like that's our widget. That's our thing to separate the serious from the curious and the ones who, you know, really want it rather than the ones who are, you know, spending time putting proposals together for people who haven't already kind of invested something, right? Mm-hmm. For us, $49 seems to work really well. you know, a book is for me, you know, a book is great. I just have them buy the book and I just won't, it really won't meet you unless you, you know, pay for the assessment or buy the book. And so I think it's just the, being able to communicate the, you know, the value of that, and take a stand for it that we're worth, you know, you're worth it.
Right. So do you find yourself then going like the BNI meetings then, or?
No, never been a BNI. One community that was really profitable for us. And again, if we don't know our numbers, you don't know which communities are being, you know, where are you getting business from? Right. It's just like, I think mm-hmm. I got a client from there. It's like, no, what kind of software we use Infusionsoft, you know, to manage a lot of this. And, you know, one of the, a good community for us was, Laura Langmeyer's. She does a thing called 3 days to cash. What an incredible program. I mean, it's an event where you're making sales and you're generating cash and making money at the event. You're guaranteed that it will happen. So there's just a different energy when, you know, everybody's kind of, it's a marketplace and everybody's buying and selling stuff. And I mean, that one's been fruitful for us. I mean, from early on, I spent tens of thousands of dollars and traveled all over the place. And, you know, and so I still can, you know, I still tap some of those, I call it, what is it? Social capital, I call it. You know, so, you know, mm-hmm. being able to go look back and say, wow, I didn't get a return here. I spent, you know, this, and you know, I did that wrong. I'm not telling you to go, you know, build your day, you know, by flying around the country and attending a lot of events. Cause what I've started to learn now is that even that's a big, I mean, There's a lot of smoke and mirrors, you know, a lot of sizzle and no steak. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot. And so, you know, I'm very, very picky at this point of the different types of events that we do attend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. You were going to chime in.
I was just kind of curious it's something that I've been kind of thinking about and from the groups that I'm involved with, it seems to me that for the most part, events, unless you're going to be maybe one of the speakers or at least one of the key people of that event and making sure that it goes on without a hitch, then generally speaking, you could be accomplishing the same thing through technology.
Yes, so unless you're properly positioned for the event, right? Like, how are you? And we come from cooperation, not competition. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, how are you going to compete with the guy that's on the stage, right? Like, and when I say compete, I use that, you know, loosely, but it's like, unless you're properly positioned at that event, yeah, you're right. It's a little more difficult, right?
Right.
So this kind of brings up one of the things that I wanted to ask. Like, you're talking about, Brian, what you had, kind of like where you got or what you went through to get where you're at now, right? Like flying all around the country. So if you could like have the opportunity to give advice to yourself back then, what would you say?
Oh, this one's easy.
He probably has like a poster written down. Like, these are the things that I've learned on the trick.
Put a marketing budget together first. So, you know, it's great to have hire a coach, and it's great to have someone, you know, again, looking at those blind spots and looking at, you know, what we can't see. And at the same time, you know, so there's a lot of value in that. And at the same time, everyone else, no, I don't find coaches that take you through an assessment to find out where you're at first. You know, they all think that their process or their program is the next thing for you. And, you know, put a marketing budget together first and get an offer sheet together. So So I guess there's a bunch, right? So let me see if I can give you three. First one is to create some sort of marketing budget where, you know, that money is only there for, you know, generating ads or creating ads or some sort of, you know, advertising, right? I'd probably say the second one is have a brand and stick with one brand. You know, for a long time I was here and over here, and I just didn't have, because I was coming from a kind of a Dan Kennedy direct response world, right, where it's more copywriting and direct. The whole branding conversation didn't come in later, and so I had no brand, right? I didn't have like an identity. Right. And the third one. Oh, yeah. Having an offer. Look, like, it's a one page offer sheet where you can do business with someone. It doesn't have to be a piece of paper either. And I just find that, you know, positioning your offer or what it is that your value, and being able to write it out and look at the, you know, if someone, and being able to position that offer properly, it takes something, right? It takes some mental energy, but having an offer, man, like, I forbid anyone listening to this, or even you guys, if you don't have an offer sheet, don't go to any more events, like, because how do you expect to like generate cash at those events if you're not clear on what it is that you're offering? And so, you know, so those are the three things. One is put a marketing budget together, have some sort of brand, get a brand, stay consistent with that brand. And then lastly is having an offer, a low get to know me sort of offer, like a, you know, maybe an assessment, maybe a book, maybe a widget, some sort of something that you can deliver to someone that is, you know, kind of low cost, but it's building trust, and then they can ascend into the next thing, right? Example of it is Apple, right? They use iTunes, you know, they have an iTunes, they have an iPad or iPod, then an iPad, and then a bigger iPad, and then the Mac Mini, and then the the Mac, and then the MacBook Pro, and then the, you know, so it's like, but they don't really care where you come in. If you start with iTunes, they're kind of happy, right? You're getting used to their platform, their technology, and at some point you're going to ascend into the next thing when you're ready, right? Yep. So managing those people to where they're at in your own, in your process for them, and then when they're ready to ascend to the next thing, you're there, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Francioli, can I just ask Francioli the same thing?
Got those awesome answer, Brian.
No, Francioli, what would you give yourself? If you were back,
say 5, 10 years ago.
like what's some advice that you would give yourself?
I think getting really clear on that offer page. That's one thing that I'd go to like these events and, you know, I would have full-time mom and .org, and, you know, it was great. But I didn't know what I needed next. Like, I didn't know, like, okay, I'm going to go to this event, or I'm going to go to, or if I'm going to meet someone, you know, just randomly, I don't know what I'm going to offer them, or I'm going to, you know, present to them. So really getting clear on that, I think is really helped me. Like, now that I got the assessment in place, and I know where, you know, how to really just share it really easy, you know, like, so people understand. I think that's really helped me just really communicate to someone, like, hey, this is what I do. Do you want to do an assessment? And just going from there. And then, you know, I do take a lot from what Brian says, just because we've learned together. I mean, he was, you know, a little bit more farther in. So I think I was kind of protected and shielded in some ways, because he was like, no, don't do that. Or no, you know, let's evaluate why you want to do that. Or, you know, because there's a lot of coaches that would come up and say, hey, you need this. And I'd get all excited and I'm like, yeah, I want them to be my coach. And then Brian would get me back to a level like, wait a minute, are they doing what, you know, you want to do? Like, is there a reason, like, what's the reason? So, and what are, I mean, what's the outcome, right?
What are the deliverables that they're going to give, you know? So, you know, before you invest in a coach, it's like, who are, you know, there's some really key questions that you really got to ask them to, you know, learn from someone who's doing or done what you want to accomplish, right?
Yeah, so I guess the two things is really like telling myself like, okay, get clear on what it is that I'm going to, you know, really offer that person if I talk to them or I go to an event. And then number two is just really having that marketing budget. I think it's really huge because you're going to get really consumed by everything that's going on around you. And if you don't have something set aside, that's great. You can get that coach or you can go to that course or that conference. But if you get all these tools and these resources and then it's like, okay, execution time, there's always a marketing execution plan, you know, with it. But now you've just invested, you know, thousands of dollars for this thing and that thing. And then you forgot about that. That's the key point of how people are going to find you or how you're going to share your message. So you think that's really huge because it's like, oh, I just spent all this money. I don't even have any room to kind of share the message now. So those are the two things I would tell myself, you know, if I could go back. And of course, just having the four pillars, you know, you know, just got to put that in there because if you don't have the four pillars, the business is not going to be holding up. It's going to be falling down. It's just saying.
Yeah, that's a good plug. Yeah.
Before we end here, I got a few rapid fire questions that I tend to go. But before I even get to those, I'm just going to say that would both of you consider yourself unemployable?
Here, I'll share. Let me answer that with a story, right?
Okay.
And it'll be a short one. So the other day, actually yesterday, I got a check because I coach wrestling too, right? So they, and I got my check, and here's how they determined how much I was worth. They looked at a chart, and they looked at how many years of coaching experience I have. I'm like, well, what about this other 17 years of wrestling experience? What about competing at the NCAAs four times? What about, you know, well, so, you know, when someone tells you you're worth a certain amount, I mean, it still sits with me kind of weird, right? It's like, wait, so you're not evaluating based on, you know, the value that I'm delivering to this high school. You know, you're just looking at a chart. And, so I think with that story, I would say yes, unemployable, but I'm still willing to, you know, dance in a conversation if, you know, there's, if the deal, yeah, how do you say it? There's a lot of value in still having a job, you know, like, there's a lot of value in it. And, so I'll just leave it at that, you know, and discern what you want from it, right?
All right.
I would say that because of just creating, you know, the four pillars and just being able to create from nothing, basically, you know, like there's something that really, you know, was searing inside of me and I was able to create. I don't see myself really working for someone again, because I get to be able to create and then execute from that, you know, with that flexibility of being my own boss, right? But I'm also very open to it because, you know, there are small businesses out there that, you know, would love for me to be on their team. And if I can, you know, put a couple years or whatever it is that's needed to transform that business, by all means, I'm open to it. And I think, you know, it's really about being open-minded, you know, because that's when opportunities and possibilities come about. So that's where I stand for myself. Because if I was just like, nope, that's it. I'm going to be this one way and then that's it. I'm sure I wouldn't have a lot of possibility and opportunities come my way. So that's my stand, and that's where I am at.
Cool. So the rapid fire questions. First one is three things that you'd want people to remember either one of you guys by.
Oh, that's good. I was just thinking about that the other day. Well, number one is that I valued family to the extreme. I love my daughters. I love my husband. Like, I love family. And I want people to be able to say, yeah, she's just a family person. She, you know, she's a full-time mom. The second would be, you know, she always completed the task on hand. And she was a person of her word. Like, yeah, she said she was going to do that. And, you know, maybe it didn't exactly have that outcome, or, you know, I didn't exactly do it the way I said I was going to do it, but I did it, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. And it could have just been a different way that it came about, but at least I did it, you know, and I did it the best that I could. I wanted to say, like, I tried my best, and you know what? I don't want to try, you know, like, that's one thing I don't want people to say is like, she tried. No, she did. Mm-hmm. So that's how, you know, I really want people to like look at me. And I think that the last one is, you know, my kids could actually say, yeah, my mom did it. You know, my mom had no fear. Even though I do have fear, you know, but at least I didn't show it. I just went for it. And I was all about action.
Can you ask it one more time just so I get present to it?
Okay. Three things you'd want people to remember you by. How do you want to be known?
Three things that I want to be known by. That's a great question. I guess the first one is that you made an impact, right? That, like a rippling kind of impact, right? Where it's people are being impacted either spiritually or financially or, you know, relationally, or so that would be the first. And then the next would be a great father and a great son, right? Mm-hmm. And inside of, you know, being a great son, I guess I mean like that, you know, I was obedient, that I followed, you know, his plan and the Lord's plan for my life. And so, you know, I'd want to be known that I was obedient, right? That, you know, that and just, you know, there's times where it's like, yeah, so those are the three things.
Okay. You know, just to add, just because, you know, we are a couple, and is that, you know, people look at both of us and they're like, wow, they're a power couple, but not in the worldly form. You know, we're very spiritual people. So, and, you know, I look at it and I want people to be like, wow, like, those are definitely two people you want to go talk to. If you need some guidance in terms of just really following the Lord's will. So, I mean, I don't have any shame in saying it or anything at all. And I just really believe that, you know, we have to have the foundation. And you look at those couple and they have it grounded in him. That's for us. That's what I would say. So.
Okay. Cool. Between the two of you, so we won't have six, we'll only have three. Who are your favorite teachers and or experts that have helped you get to where you're at?
Well, I would just inject here and say Tony Robbins has
Tony Robbins is definitely one something. So yeah. There's a head start.
Yeah, I don't know if he's really made that moment. I mean, yes, he had an event in Chicago and, you know, we had our first kiss there, and, you know, and you know, and I just kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Right. You want to
The first person that came to mind, and Brian knows I have a huge heart for him, but is the founder of CO Space, Bernie Dorman. I mean, I can pick up the phone and he'll answer, you know, my call anytime, my text. And, you know, even when I'm feeling like, oh man, I don't know what to do next. Like he always has been there, you know, and even before I knew what I really wanted to do, because I feel like the whole full-time mom, like just really getting in my essence of like, wow, I can actually be an entrepreneur came out of CO Space.
And one of the other things that he did for us through his capital curriculum is really remove the barriers around raising capital. So, you know, one of the things that CO Space does is they do bonus classes and they teach, you know, how do you do what you see happening on Shark Tank and The Profit, and you know, how do you with compliance with the SEC, you know, how do you with integrity raise capital and create those agreements. So I think one of the things that I'm aligned. Bernie Dorman would be definitely one. You got another one? All right.
Marcus Lemonis from The Profit. I mean, we watch that show every chance we get, you know, because there's a lot of things that he goes through. And it's just, and it's his assessment when he goes into businesses that, I mean, he's just really great. He's really great. And he's really great about, I don't know if it's really him, but in terms of social media, like if you're tweeting and whatnot, like he's really interested in knowing like what you have to say. So, I mean, he's answered a few questions of mine. It's like, oh, wow. Like he's, you know, he's kind of a celebrity on TV, right? Per se, in quotes. But that's definitely someone that, you know, we follow and we're like, we just, you know, marinate in all of that he has to share, you know, through his assessments and businesses.
Are you going to give me the last one? Or are you going to take that one too?
Sorry, I got to let him lead. Go ahead.
Glenn Dietzel was one of my, he was my second coach. And I think one of the things that he gave me as a gift is that our intellectual property, right? Our testimony, our story, our experiences of life, you know, kind of like that purpose-driven life, you know, idea where, you know, I think one of the things that Glenn showed me was how to position and value that experience of life and quantify it and kind of put it into, you know, some parameters, some terms that can be packaged and, you know, positioned, packaged and promoted to have a business. And so, yeah, so that would be the last ones is Glenn Dietzel. He does a thing called, well, it used to be called Sell High Price Programs. Now it's, I'm not sure what brand he's running right now, but those are the three. So Bernie Dorman, The Profit, Marcus Lemonis, and Glenn Dietzel.
Okay, cool. And the last one, is if someone was struggling with their business and they might be interested in hiring you, but we're just going to kind of, you know, position yourself as, okay, these are the things that they could do, but if they struggle even with that, then they need to come see us. So what are some of the things that you might tell someone that is struggling in their business to do as maybe 1 to 3 next action steps?
There's only one: book an assessment. we can't do surgery unless we know what is really going on. So, but that also takes vulnerability from someone. And so, you know, book an assessment. Like we were talking about parameters, I think, or frameworks. You know, there are definitely a lot of frameworks that you can leverage and think from that will kind of put a mirror up against, you know, what you can't see, right? Your blind spots. So, without a doubt, it would be, you know, have a conversation around what would an assessment look like.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So would you align on that?
Yep, book an assessment.
Well, I have a follow-up then. So like even lower on the value ladder, like what's something they can do for free? Where can they find out about the assessment?
There is.
So what's something they can do for free? Like what?
Well, yeah, like, I mean, like book an assessment. Awesome. Yeah. But you kind of alluded to it. Like what is an assessment? You know, like.
Yeah, I guess one of the things that, you know, we can give away is, I mean, the only thing I also believe that when people pay, they pay attention, right? And there's some sort of, and so, you know, I have a business plan that cost me probably $7,000 to put together, and we've kind of made it as fill in the blank, right? Like, I mean, it's there's certain parts of it that are you know, we've kind of, it's very lean, right? It's very thin. It's very, but it's all meat and potatoes, right? It's all real, the stuff that you really need to be thinking from inside of your business. So, I guess just because I'm committed to, you know, if you don't have a plan, right, then, you know, I guess we can somehow, you know, I can get this, I can forward you guys a copy of the execution plan, and, you know, we can make that available. And I guess you can just, you know, see for yourself the value of that is, right?
Right.
Does that work? I've never given it away except for paying clients, but, you know, otherwise, I mean, I have membership calculators. If someone's interested in building out like a membership site or a subscription service, you know, so.
And yeah, it's up to you. I mean,
that's why here's the thing, like the assessment, it's like, I don't know what someone needs until I kind of, we start talking and communicating and kind of looking. Right. Yep. And so I don't want to tell someone, oh, you need a membership site or you need a, you know, cause it's offering someone the next thing that they need inside of the sequence of where they're at, right? A lot of these coaches and a lot of, you know, other entrepreneurs, I get really hot about it because they're offering people things that is really, it's not what's next for them based on my opinion, right? And by what it's they're selling the next thing and it may not be what's really next for them. Does that make sense?
Totally.
So I guess I'm a little hesitant because I don't want to just prescribe something.
You don't want to be a doctor and giving them without actually doing ballot. Yep.
So where can they find out like what an assessment is from you? Do you have a website you can send them to, sort of thing? That's what I'm going for.
Yeah. Let me just see which one. We got multiple sites. MBA Mastermind is kind of our new look and our new branding that we're transitioning all of our other websites into. And I think you can actually get an assessment right on there. There's a store, and both Francielli's Four Pillars of Holding Up Your Business and a website or like a blog, an authority blog, like their assessment, they can book an assessment right on there as well.
All right, cool.
So I is there anything else you guys want to say as final thoughts, or we good?
No, I guess it's just, it's possible, you know, and you know, that's all I got.
I guess awesome. I'll end it with don't listen to anybody that didn't give themselves permission to do what they're telling you not to do.
Cool. I like that. All right. Well, you guys, thank you for coming on, and it was definitely a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep. Good times.
Good stuff there. All right. So I hope you enjoyed that interview with Brian and Francielli. We'll have all the info they discussed in the show, including how to connect with them, via the show notes at newinceptions.com/session19. Again, if you'd like to subscribe for free to this podcast, you can do so via iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Instructions to do that are in the show notes. If you're interested in getting your hands on the execution plan template that Brian talked about in the show, which you can use to facilitate your own business growth, You can head on over to the show note extras to find it. Remember that the dailies are experts in using this specific tool. I mean, it makes sense. They developed it. So if you have any questions of the relevance of something that's in it, or, you know, meaning behind a certain part, be sure to get in contact with them. And frankly, here's a little bit about my thinking. You know, as they said, it's all about examination, solution, implementation, right? I mean, think about this. Wouldn't it be better to get a second opinion by a professional? How often in your life do you find yourself hiring someone else to give you a better assessment of a particular search situation? I mean, when it comes to your physical ailments, are you going to be assessing yourself, or are you going to be letting a doctor do it? How about your car? I mean, if you have a weird noise, are you going to be having a mechanic do it versus yourself? As Brian said, if you thought you were doing everything right, but someone comes along and says you're doing something wrong, how quickly would you want to know? And so my thinking is, you want to check out the execution plan, use it, but then get in a second opinion, see if you used it right. You know, there's going to be parts in there that you might not necessarily understand and how they apply to your business. Contact the dailies. I mean, they're going to help you figure out what it all means and how you can apply it to your business. The next item in the show note extras is an article that talks about launching a company with a loved one and five things you need to know about doing it. Basically, what the article means to me is that you need to have a solid understanding of your strengths and weaknesses as partners. Duh. But you also need to be building it for the right reasons, and that you don't want to, you know, have the business come between you and your spouse. So definitely good stuff in there. And then finally, the last extra I have in this particular session comes from Marie Forleo, where she's going to be talking about four questions that you can ask yourself when taking business advice from your spouse. Again, in the dailies case, they had, you know, she has her business and he has his business, and yeah, he's a little bit further down the road than she is. And so, you know, if you find yourself in the same situation where you guys aren't mutually working on the same business, then I think this extra from Marie might definitely help you out. So that's pretty much it for the extras, and you can go to the show notes again to find that. In next week's show, our new addition to the New Inceptions team, Layla, and I talk with someone I think you guys are really going to love. Ginger Kern is another TEDx presenter that jumped on my radar right after the talk with Cam Adair in Session 8. She did an interview with him regarding his traveling and his life, and I was like, huh, who's this? In fact, you might recognize her website as being travelermindset.com that I mentioned in the show note extras of Layla's interview in Session 14. With the love that Marianne Jennings podcast has received, I wanted to get another traveler on the show that could help you guys do the same thing. What's unique about Ginger is that she believes that we can all have the traveler's mindset, even in our backyard, as she challenges us to think that way in her TEDx presentation. So if you've been wondering when I was going to get someone on that could show you how you could have a traveler's life, then this is definitely that session. So in the meantime, head on over to the show notes found at newinceptions.com/session19. Again, there's where you'll find the show notes to do all that we discussed today. And of course, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. As you know, it means a lot, not only to us, but, you know, future guests, past guests, and of course, future listeners of the show. We really appreciate you guys for listening. And if it wasn't for you, the audience, sharing our show, we wouldn't be where we are. So again, thank you guys so much. So I think that's it. Session 19 is definitely finito. And get on over to check out the show notes over on newinceptions.com/session19. And we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web at newinceptions.com.